This episode of the
K-Guns Last Kicker
is brought to you by
Geist Note
and Victor Wrench
and Plastic Object.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Rolling.
Let's see how many subgenres of heavy metal you can name.
Okay, there's power metal.
Glam metal.
Hair metal.
Thrash metal.
Ambient thrash.
Progressive metal.
Stoner metal.
Hardcore.
Grindcore.
Deathcore.
Death metal.
Melodic death metal.
Goth metal.
Dark metal.
Doom metal.
Satanic metal.
Funk metal.
Rap metal.
Symphonic metal.
Melodic metal.
Laptop metal.
Cinematic metal.
New metal.
Folk metal.
Old metal.
Shred guitar metal.
Show number 378, technically speaking, of the Jerry Jonestown Massacre. But tonight, it's the reboot of the Metal Show.
Yes, the Metal Show.
Happy Tuesday, Matt.
Happy Tuesday, Dustin.
It's been a long time since we've put one of these together.
Yeah.
We kind of fell out of, I don't know. Just stopped doing it for some reason. Why did we stop doing it? Were we just kind of forgot about it?
Laziness.
We got laziness. And then we started really listening to acid jazz.
Yes.
And the weird... We started throwing in some... I don't know. I don't know
Flamenco?
Where I'm going with it. Maybe, yeah, some of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I got really confused on where we were going
Rodrigo
after that.
Rodrigo anyway. Gabriela.
So the... in COVID, let's face it, that's all we've been talking about is that crap.
Yeah.
And riots and all kinds of stupid stuff.
Yes. So. Everything that's going on in the world. So we kind of got away from the metal shows, but we decided to reboot it. And we thought we would do it with a friend of ours, all the way on the other side of the Metroplex coming at us, Mr. Chris Ryan. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you doing this evening, sir?
Excellent. How are you guys?
Good.
We're doing good. We're doing good.
So you're in Collin County, right?
That's Collin right. County.
Collin County. So,
how's the heat over there?
Pretty hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Collin County. You're still able to go to restaurants and stuff, and no bars though. Bars are shut down. So, how have you been surviving, Chris?
It's hard with three little kids, but hanging in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You playing any Xbox with the kiddos or?
Xbox, Switch, water balloons.
Yeah.
Legos.
Legos.
Yes.
Yeah. Legos.
The Whatever key to happiness is
yeah.
Legos.
Is that, did you do the Starship during COVID?
Yeah, that Star Destroyer took me.
You should have sent a picture of that to Chris.
A week and a half.
Yeah.
Yes. I got the Collector Series Imperial Star Destroyer with 46,000 pieces. Or it's actually 4,600.
Yeah.
I always add an extra zero for some reason, but it's gigantic and it's out here in the shed with us. I'll have to.
Yes.
Yeah, I need to see it.
So, Mike Patton is the voice master of metal, right? And Chris is the voice master of voiceovers, if you didn't know that. And you listen to our show. He's a local legend. Used to work at for Clear Channel at the Eagle. You were assistant program director for a while, right?
I was program director for
oh, that's
five
right.
years.
Yeah. After they fired me, he was the he became the program director.
You were the program director of the Eagle?
Yeah, and he took my place. He was like, you got to get me out of the way so he could change, so he could get up there. So, but yeah, so he has a lot of metal experience and some cool-ass stories that you'll like to hear when we talk about some of these bands. He's a nice dude, too. You're a nice guy, Chris.
Thank you.
And so now you're working at the voiceover stuff for Dragon Ball Z, but they're on hold because of the COVIDs. Are we allowed to say that stuff? Or you want me to shut up?
No, you're good. But I'm not on Dragon Ball. But
oh,
same
I thought you
company
were.
That does. No, I'm not on Dragon
dude,
Ball.
Dude, I've told everybody that I knew some dude that freaking was doing voiceovers at
That's
Dragon Ball Z.
That's why you need
man.
A fact checker in your life. Like, period.
I do
that
need
walks
one.
Around with you and just
right.
checks things out and makes sure you're right before you start telling people weird
like,
shit.
Eh, no,
like a bullshit go. Meter?
Yeah, there
just
you go.
Bzzz. So
nope,
are you
those
work-
would break on an hourly basis with you.
Yeah, it would, totally. So are you working on any projects right now that are... in production still and still like being done, or what are you doing, man?
You're talking about anime?
Anime, yeah, all that.
Yeah, anime. I'm on a show called No Guns Life, which is really cool. And I'm on One Piece, which has been around forever. So
I know One Piece, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I've heard it, yeah. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it. A lot of people talk about it.
Is that code for Dragon Ball Z?
No.
Has your work slowed?
Maybe if you say it enough, maybe they'll put me on there.
Dragon Ball. Do you want to go on there, though? Like, are you guys competitors?
No, it's the same company.
Okay, cool. I don't want to start any static with you guys, the anime people. That's seen.
Has your work slowed down any because of COVID or anything? Are
you still able to do stuff? I've lost some things, but then I've gained some things. So even Steven, pretty much. Thank God.
It's kind of like weight with COVID. You know, you lose some weight, you gain some weight, and you gain some more weight.
Yeah. You go to rehab, you come out of rehab. Yeah. It's kind of what it's been
you
happening.
You become an alcoholic, you come back. Then sober
you
up.
You find Jesus, and then it's Buddhist.
You lose Jesus.
You lose Jesus, yeah. Then it's Buddhist.
Yes.
So, well, cool, man. We are honored to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Man, the crust of this whole thing is, like he said, we did a metal show. What has it been, like 2 years now?
I think our last one was like a year and a half ago.
That's all in COVID.
It was just
around?
Us. No. Other things came up.
Yeah.
And we kind of went across the wayside. But I think what we want to do, right, is
once a month.
Once
right?
a month. We're going to try to do.
Yeah, if Chris is all right with it. If he doesn't quit mid-show. Which I'd already be about to do it.
Like it's easy to quit when you work when you're connecting with us away from here, because all you got to do is just pull the plug and walk away.
At any moment, he could give us the bird and be like, "Guys, I'm not feeling this.
Yeah, this ain't working. Hang up. Done.
Yeah, I'm gonna go do some Legos."
Also joining us tonight in studio, of course, is Brian. He's been with us the last few weeks, occupying his time during COVID, since there is no stand-up comedy happening anywhere,
or job, or. Baseball to watch.
Well, how's the job searching going, man?
Actually, I might have my old job back. I think I pretty much do.
The smoking one, right? You go smoke cigarettes?
I give out coupons. I smoke cigarettes in my own time. But yeah. We're probably going to get back to work here in a few weeks.
So you deal cancer?
You deal death, kind of. In a way,
you do deal in death.
Don't you, Matt? You give out beer.
I guess you had a point there.
Y'all both deal.
We all fuck the planet in our own special way. So.
Oh.
Y'all deal in vices.
It's a kid-friendly show,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, exactly. I deal in vices.
Yeah.
And I help promote alcohol by doing stand-up comedy in places that sell it. So.
Yeah, any shows coming? I guess all shows are put on a lockdown right now, huh?
They're actually, like, the improv's doing shows. That's weird. I saw Fred's post about that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Cool.
And then also joining us.
I hope you get the job, man.
Is
I got it.
Good friend in... frequent visitor of the temple, Miss Susie Ramone.
Who is?
Well, she's in here doing something, but do we talk about it yet?
No. I was going to, you forgot. She has the award for being the coolest
person,
woman in
2019's coolest person in Tarrant County. Or
is it limited to Tarrant County? You're only the coolest person in Tarrant County?
No, it's just coolest local celebrity. Of all time, really, basically. Because after I won the award, they did away with it.
There was no need to do it ever again.
There was no need to do it ever
Or again. It was highly sexist.
Yeah.
To have a man and a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what it was then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like you and Tony Green, right?
Yeah.
Y'all are the reigning champs?
We're the reigning champs.
And you're most famous for your metal show attendances, right?
Like,
that's what you do is go to metal
shows.
That's
what people know me for. That they think that Susie Ramone, she's so metal.
Yeah, Susie Ramone, Ramone, right? Yeah.
I'm the fact check and go, eh. No.
What is it, the fact check false?
You should see her when she teases her hair up real big.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like Cece DeVille.
And gets ready to go to her 80
Wayne's
shows,
World Extra.
You know?
Yeah.
A Twisted Sister.
Did you ever interview Cece DeVille, Chris?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man. That'd be some... Well, I know you did Bret Michaels, didn't you?
I'm sure I did. I don't recall. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure at some.
I got on Eagle stage with him a long time ago. Robert Miguel got me on stage and I had blue hair. It was when it was still called the Starplex or Coca Cola Starplex.
That's when I still had hair.
That too.
Wow.
All right. Wait. All right, Dustin, tell us how we're going to start doing this thing and let's get into the meat and potatoes of the show.
Meat and bread?
I figured we'd start back at the beginning and kind of maybe here at the beginning, you know, kind of get to know each other. Not that we don't know each other, but, you know, kind of spill our beans on how metal, how we got into metal, how it affects our lives and what we dig. And yes. Then kind of what we're going to do is we're just going to lay this out. There is a website you can go to called Map of Metal. And it's a cool-ass map that's just kind of laid out over Europe of how of different metal genres and how they came in by year or decade. And if you look up Map of Metal, it was created by Patrick Galbraith and a metal historian, Nick Grant. And it kind of shows how all the... We've always talked about that metal has so many subgenres, it's insane. Oh. And I don't think there's any other, like, main genre of music that has that many subgenres. Yeah,
I'd say punk is a distant second.
Well, punk is kind of included in some of this hard rock and metal.
But even like in their own, like, there's not that much like folk punk, but there's a folk metal.
Hip hop has some subgenres that are pretty prevalent, but not like this. Not where there's like six pages of subgenres.
I'd say even hip hop's more geographically defined by its genres, because even that's, you know, so is metal, but like you can have an American black metal band, you know, something like that. But like rap, hip hop, it's like, you know, those Houston beats.
Dirty South Atlanta beats.
Exactly.
Your Atlanta
beats. I'd say it's more East Coast geographically defined.
But metal's insane. Like, what do you think, Chris? Yeah, would you say there's any other music genre that has this many subgenres?
Well, I don't know enough about other genres to know, but yeah, I can't imagine.
I thought you were a huge country fan.
No, I mean, not country. Huge. Huge is a big word.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Is country...
But well, I would think country has bluegrass and, I don't know, like, bro country.
Red Dirt. Red Dirt country, yeah.
You got your
gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah, gospel.
But the main point being on this metal thing is we're not going to touch every single genre, so don't start blowing up Dustin with emails about, hey, you missed the crotch rock genre or anything like that, because, I mean,
there's a few that we're going to have a lot of fun with.
When
we get to, like, hair metal, that's a lot of fun.
And we're going to educate you. We're going to let you know what you're listening to.
Yes.
What type of metal. I don't know why I just transformed into Mr. Metal Professor from... I don't know. I'm going nowhere with this. So,
so I kind of wanted to kick it off here. Like, we'll go with you, Matt, first.
Me?
Yeah, why not?
On the where I started listening to metal.
No, like what was the first heavy song you remember hearing as a kid? And it doesn't have to be full metal, but like what?
Mine wasn't either. I went on a huge Michael Jackson phase when I was a kid. Like, I got way into Michael Jackson. Like, so much to the point where I would put a glove on that my grandma made. And remember the drug marts in like Grant in Arlington and stuff, those huge drug emporium drug stores? I would go in there with my mom and grandma and do the moonwalk around the whole thing in parachute pants and my little glove and my Michael Jackson t-shirt.
Are there photos of this?
There might be somewhere. Glove is still around, but when Thriller came out, my mom bought me that album, and because she liked Michael Jackson. Eddie Van Halen played on Beat It. Mm-hmm. And
that's his riff. I was about to say, because Beat It is a sweet fucking riff.
I don't know if he wrote the riff, but he had a solo in it, too.
Okay.
And when I heard that guitar solo, I was immediately like, what is that?
Yeah.
And I still was, that got me into kind of like Van Halen and stuff. And then I went on that same summer, I went on a trip with my grandma to Padre Island. And there was another family. There was a bunch of families there. And one of the families had a bunch of teenagers. And they were rocking this stuff that they called hard rock and metal, or heavy metal. And they made fun of me because I wore a Michael Jackson shirt every day. But they also opened my eyes, because they were playing Twisted Sister. And they had a Twisted Sister, the first album that really broke them, the...
Stay Hungry?
Stay Hungry. They had Stay Hungry, they had Shout at the Devil by Motley Crue, that album, and then I think it was Quiet Riot, Metal Health, and that's all they played. If I tried to say, hey, I got a Michael Jackson tape or whatever, they'd be like, get out of here, like, you tardo, or whatever. I promised I wasn't going to say it.
Whoa.
But that's the language they used back then.
Yeah.
Actually, they called me something else, but that was way more offensive. But, you know, when I got my feelings hurt and ran away on the beach, I was going to go to Mexico and listen to Michael Jackson the rest of my life.
Would be like, let's crank that shit.
Yeah.
They would love it. They would have an intro rotation flawlessly.
So, but I got my feelings hurt, but I also fell in love with everything they were listening to. I loved that, like that Shout at the Devil cassette tape. I immediately went home and bought it at the age of like, I don't know, I was like 6, 7, or 8, somewhere in there.
Some, is that open with Shout at the Devil? Does the album start?
No, remember it's got that speech
in the beginning.
In the beginning, that's right. Which was that Anton LaVey or some satanic priest or something? Or was that just one of the jackasses in the studio, like the Vince, one of Vince's buddies that he didn't kill?
Jeez.
Sorry. Anyway, so that's what I, that was my introduction, and it only grew from there. Then I, you know, did the 80s metal thing for a good chunk of, I still do it. And then next thing you know, I got introduced to some stuff from the West Coast, like Pig Children Tribe, which is a punk band. And then, like, all my good friends started discovering metal around the same time. And then I discovered punk with DRI, and it just started blossoming out of control. And then Appetite for Destruction came out, and that's when all hell broke loose in my mind. Because it was right around the same time as Injustice for All came out by Metallica. And then by that time, I was fully involved and wasn't listening to any Michael Jackson at all anymore, and just rabbit holed and tried to listen to every single metal band I could ever hear.
And then you turned your back on the King of Pop.
Yeah.
It happens.
I was that age, though, where I should have turned my, if you know what I'm saying.
Whoa. How about you, Chris?
Well, you know, when I was young, my mom listened to music, and so I heard all the 60s heavier stuff, you know, like, you know, Born to Be Wild, things like that, but it was probably, you know, around 83 or so that I went to stay with my cousin, who was 7 years older than me, 6 years older than me, and he had the first two Motley Crue albums, and we played those nonstop the whole weekend I was staying with him. I just fell in love with, I really liked the first album, the Too Fast for Love album. Yeah. So when I got back to my hometown, which is a small place, I went to Walmart to get it, and they didn't have that, the first album. They had Shout at the Devil, so I went ahead and bought that, you know, and from then on, it was all 80s hair metal for me, you know, up until, and Justice for All was my first dive into Metallica, and then from that was probably Cowboys from Hell, you know.
Yes.
It would have started leading me down a heavier road. And then bands like Faith No More. So that's what did it for me. But most of the 80s was, I would just go into the record store, and if they had cool hair, I'm like, I'm buying this band.
Did you ever like cruise through and look at the, like, the album art or the album cover and be like, yeah, this looks cool, this looks heavy, this looks evil?
Well, Poison's first album didn't look evil at all, but I bought that on site.
Because he thought it was,
I had not heard a song off of it. I'm like, yeah, this is right up my alley, I'm sure.
It was because you thought they were women, right?
Well, one of them was hot. I wasn't sure.
These chicks are
it's
hot.
It's a different time, Matt. It was a different time.
Yeah.
That's what, I can't wait till we start talking about hair metal. That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
we
hair
have
metal.
Lots of experts.
I'll take a smoke break when y'all do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to get angry. Because I think it barely classifies as metal.
So I'm gonna
stay in the rock.
I agree with that.
Should stay in the rock category.
So I'm gonna take a timeout on the how we got introduced, because I'll forget this. Did you guys see this week on, I think it was Blabbermouth or what's the other Facebook or the other
Loudwire
that Great White played a show?
Oh yeah.
And
you know, that band gives no fucks.
No 6 feet distancing or anything. Did
you see the
comments under that about the, like, everybody's like, oh, I guess they're
they knew what they're doing.
Do you think so? That was a publicity thing that they're just going to be the band that kills people.
There's no way anyone in that band could have been like, yeah, people are going to talk about us killing people again. They're like, of course they're gonna do it. Like, someone had to have known.
They
that.
Got some balls.
Someone in that
they did
band
the show, so it's not,
is sick and demented and has fun with this. Kind of like something we'd do.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to Great White too eventually at some point. What about you, man? Because you came from a kind of a religious background.
I came from heavy religious background.
Yeah.
I when I would go out to as a kid, I would listen to a lot of pop stuff, and it was same thing: Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5. Madonna, all that stuff. And I would go out.
You don't strike me as a Madonna person.
It was just what would it's what was on, like, I don't know, at the time, what was it, like Y95 back then when I was a kid was the big radio station around here?
You didn't hear him on Z-Rock? Hear her on Z-Rock?
No. I didn't hear Madonna on Z-Rock. Oh. But I would go out to West Texas and hang out with my cousins and stuff. They'd be playing, like, heavy stuff, crazy heavy stuff at the time. And I, to this day, I don't know what they were listening to. I have no clue what they were listening to, but it was crazy heavy.
Like heavy, like Slayer, or even heavier than that?
Heavier than that. It was weird shit they were getting a hold of, these weird tapes. But you're also closer to Mexico, where there was a big metal scene and all that stuff.
Well, that's racist.
How is that?
Geography's racist.
How is geography racist?
Dustin, what year was this?
Man, it was probably like 83, 84.
Yeah, it's Venom.
Like somewhere in there.
Yeah, it could have been Venom.
Venom, Pentagram.
It could have been, but I've never been able to like correlate what I remember hearing in my head to finding something that sounded like it. So I don't know what they were playing, but
that would keep me up.
Like my mom, what turned me on to heavy music and guitar-driven music was my dad was a big Rolling Stones fan, my biological dad, not my black dad, or my stepdad.
Okay.
But my biological dad, huge Rolling Stones fan, loved them, and Rush fan. And he actually toured with both the bands, being a photographer for them. And
for Rush and for the Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
I bet he's got some cool pictures.
If he could find them or wherever the hell they are. Yeah.
Oops.
Kind of weird. But so he was always like playing records and 8-tracks of those when I would go see him or spend time with him.
Ah, the 8-tracks.
But then my mom was a huge Fleetwood Mac fan, but even huger, and this is what turned me on to like huge heavy guitar stuff, was The Who.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. The first time I heard, as a young kid hearing Bob O'Reilly or Won't Get Fooled Again, blew my mind. I was like, how is all this working?
Yeah.
Like, how this is ridiculous. And like at the end of Won't Get Fooled Again, you know, you hear Roger Daltrey scream. Like, did that guy just die? Like what the hell is this? And so she was a huge Who fan, which as I grew up, I found out she kind of toured around with them when she graduated, which is kind of weird. But she keeps saying I could be a Pete Townsend's son. We don't know.
Okay.
We need to do an Ancestry.com thing.
Which reminds me, are there groupies anymore? Is that still a thing?
Early pictures of Pete Townsend.
Are there still groupies? Or is that not a metal thing anymore?
There is.
Oh, there are?
I mean, we know one.
I think
one.
The last time...
Do we know what? Obviously not in an active band, man.
I think the last time I saw groupies just hanging out was Korn. They did a show, and I was seeing... They got interviewed, or it might have been by him, by Chris, but they had it looked like a full pornographic...
Well, didn't they tour with strippers?
That's exactly what it looked like. It looked like a whole A-team of the Lodge.
Yeah, that's why they all had their own buses.
When
so
Jonathan married a to a stripper and the rest of them were dating strippers or something like that? Or porn stars?
No, Korn was your band, man.
I don't know. So anyway, that was
good
always...
segue to me.
I thought that was amazing. Was like, The Who was badass. And then I slowly... Like, I still stayed in the pop realm until, man, it was when And Justice for All came out. Everybody at school was listening to that, and I was like, all right, I'm going to give this a whirl. You know,
that
let me borrow a tape.
Big.
And it was ridiculous. You hear one, and you're like, sold.
Oh, yeah, and then MTV.
Metallica.
That was the other thing about the Injustice for All album and the Appetite for Destruction album. That was in the heyday of MTV, and when the one video came out, you were like, oh, my gosh.
It was badass.
Yeah.
So then it was thrash metal and hair metal was what I was into because, it, like you said, Appetite for Destruction came out right around the same time. I was way into that, totally dug that. And then my best friend at the time, his brother, tossed us a tape and said, listen to this. This will change your life. And it was Ministry's Mine is a Terrible Thing to Taste.
So you started listening to industrial stuff.
And that changed my entire musical outlook. And then I was looking for stuff like that. I was like, well, first off, the album kicks off with Thieves, and you're like,
yeah,
what the hell? That's so fucking fast at the time. You know, it blew my mind. And then I remember right around the same time, getting ready for school, we had... my parents finally splurged and got cable. I think they sold their encyclopedia set so we could afford cable.
Mm.
Maybe the vacuum too. And
the whole household dropped 15.
We had Cox cable.
I'm sure.
Yeah. We had MTV for the first time. I remember sitting at the table eating my breakfast, getting ready for school, and the Head Like a Hole video came on, and that was the second phase.
Your story is kind of cool, the way you got into metal, because you almost followed the progression of metal development in a way.
Yeah.
Like what I did, I went back. Like I got into metal and then started going back and trying to find – like I heard Ozzy. You know, of course. And then if you hear Ozzy, you immediately start getting into some Black Sabbath. And you get, okay, now you're listening to Black Sabbath. And then I started diving into, there's this band Led Zeppelin that my parents listened to, and that sounds pretty cool. And I'd go down that avenue. And then
what's bad as
Who,
a young kid, though.
You went it the right way.
Like when I was younger, in my teen years, where I'm being rebellious and all that, listening to this stuff.
When you were living with your black dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
What didn't work out in that scenario was the aspect of I didn't appreciate Black Sabbath. I was like, this stuff's too slow and stupid and sounds like shit.
Oh.
I didn't appreciate, you know, the early Iron Maiden stuff or the Cream and all that, the forefathers of what became metal. I didn't like it because it sounded like crap. That first Motley Crue, the Too Fast for Love, I was like, what was this recorded?
Too Fast for Love.
Was this recorded in a cardboard box?
Yeah.
When you compare it to Mine Is a Terrible Thing to Taste, to that.
Yeah.
You know, Justice for All, I had no idea. There was no bass in it at the time. Now so, I can be angry.
Yeah. You were going on about some of the gnarly album covers. You were asking Chris about that. Did you see this album cover? And did some of the reason that you didn't like Sabbath and Iron Maiden, did that have any religious connotations that you thought maybe, oh, I shouldn't be listening to that?
See, the whole religion thing, there was one thing that was great for that my mom always, no matter how religious I was brought up and how much we were told, you know, don't listen to Metallica, don't listen to Iron Maiden, don't listen to Ozzy, you know, they'll lead you to suicide or you'll become, you know, corrupted with their thoughts and all this stuff, you know.
Went to court, I think, because of suicide, didn't they?
Basically, the whole Footloose scenario.
Oh yeah,
is what you're looking at.
Yeah.
What was cool was my mom was, you listen to what you want to listen to. You listen to the art you want to listen to. The only thing she didn't like is excessive cussing from like rap or gangster rap. And she's like, as long as it doesn't have that, I'm fine with it.
Did she listen to Appetite for Destruction?
Well, it's all like hidden here and there. I mean, Mr. Brownstone's pretty blatant, but Rocket Queen's kind of, you know, out there. But I never really listened to Rocket Queen because I didn't appreciate it back then like I do now. Or My Michelle, I didn't really appreciate that like I do now.
Yeah, another thing that really, I think, blew my mind was MTV's Headbangers Ball. That show, I had to watch Headbangers Ball every single... It was like... Was it Saturday night or Friday night that it was on? It was like...
I don't remember. Was it both nights?
It might have been. But Headbangers Ball changed my life, too. I wanted to see... I had to watch the interviews. I had to watch every single video. And then even to the point where they did the top 10. Remember when they would do the top 10 every day on MTV?
TRL Live?
No, before that.
With your Backstreet Boys videos?
It was before that, but... You hating on Backstreet, man?
No.
So, but I would sit there and watch it and watch all the videos just because I wanted to see Stryper do To Hell with the Devil or whatever song they were doing and Poison do Nothing But a Good Time. And
such a fun song.
Yeah. So I think that helped my metalness too was MTV. MTV played a big part. That and... I masturbated a lot. I'm going to admit it now on the show.
How about you, Brian?
All right, so...
Because you're younger than us.
Yeah, for context, I am 36. The only person in this shed and on TV that's under 40. So I started high school in 1999.
How do you know? Why are you attacking Chris? You don't know how old he is.
I'm
at him. He looks like he's 27.
But through context. Anyways,
okay.
I started high school in 1999, just so you get where I'm coming from.
When'd you graduate?
03.
Damn.
Britney years.
There you go.
Dang, dude.
So 03.
My best friend is a massive 311 fan. So easily, and he got into them in junior high. and so did I. So easily, that's an easy skip. Hops, not even a hop, skip, and a jump. It's a hop into nu metal. It was like freshman, sophomore year. I won tickets off the Edge to go see the first Family Values tour, which was headlined by Limp Bizkit. So easily dove right into nu metal.
But you got to see Rammstein, too.
No. It was the second Family Values tour, which was in order, Primus, Stained, Redman, Method Man, Filter, Limp Bizkit.
Okay, that's the one.
Great lineup in opposite order. They're like, Primus should be the headlining band of all that, which I did see Primus on their own years later. Anyway, so nu metal, that was my thing. Limp Bizkit, Korn, because, you know, being that age.
Kid Rock?
I had that album. And then also
nuts,
Deftones. And from all that, I still love the Deftones because they're actually like an artistic, creative band and evolved with their sound and are still great to this very day. But they unfairly were lumped in with the nu metal thing because there's a little rapping there, but also they were a bunch more punk leaning. But nu metal, I was more attached to like the rappiness. And like not so much the sweet riffs, which there are some here and there, which I think all metal boils down to sweet riffs, like especially the kind I like now. But then high school, I kind of switched best friends, got a new best friend, kind of fell out for a brief moment.
You can't have multiples?
I have two best friends, and they're like my only two friends to this day. Everyone else,
I'm your friend.
Those are associates.
Acquaintances.
We're associates.
Other best friend. Or new best friend, he was into punk. He's like really into like Husker Du, old school punk. And me and him went to some Warped tours. So I was just like, oh, I remember a $10 special day at a CD warehouse. I bought all these $10 Epitaph albums, started listening to a lot of punk, and maybe some metal still thrown in there. But then later on through high school, our buddy Andrew Savage, who he's in this really good band now called Parquet Courts. He started at the time he was in a band. He started getting into hardcore, and I remember him, me and him going to Good Records to specifically like we end up buying a Converge CD, and I think that's when I got
Jane Doe.
No, it was an earlier
Fort.
One called it was some demos called Unloved and Weeded Out.
Okay,
early shit. I wish I would have found Jane Doe a lot earlier because that to me is just. So I found hardcore. I think I had Hate Breeds Perseverance, which was just that just makes you sweat toxic masculinity. It's amazing. It's it's like oh yeah, and then you know then they have I think Kerry King's on a song in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out I worked at FYE senior year and the year after that. So I was getting just random CDs that they would play. Or sometimes they wouldn't even play because no one put them in there. I wasn't in charge of anything. And I remember getting a Killswitch Engage, Alive or Just Breathing. And I think that's what started me with, like, I was like, oh, shit, like, metalcore. And I was just like, oh, give me double bass, give me breakdowns.
You like machine guns.
Give me all the... And it was also cool that, not Howard, their first and also current singer, Jesse... It was cool that he could sing too.
I like it.
Yeah, oh yeah, I still dig it. And then, which I think is the best metalcore band of all time, Unearth. Just fucking love them. And I stayed in metalcore for quite a while, and then I finally branched out into more, you know, kind of backtracked and you know got more to like you know Sabbath, you know, kind of catch up on them.
Yeah.
Older Metallica, because I just. I don't hate the '90s Metallica now, but you know I can make fun of it, but I can also respect it because I'm an adult. And of course, being a true blue Texan, you know, finding out more Pantera songs. And no offense, Chris, but like "Walk" is one of the most boring goddamn songs.
I love "Walk."
I don't want to hear it ever again.
No, it's boring as shit. I don't want to hear it, but it's fun to punch someone in the face.
The Eagle that would play. Would do its damnedest, and I feel bad for the DJs there that were just like, I know there's so much.
I feel like
better.
You're attacking Chris.
There's no, one right there.
I'm just. I know that they're like. There's. I know. I have this album. I fucking rock it, but I have to play "Walk" again and again and again. And "Cemetery Gates" is great, but you're like, man, I would love to play "I'm Broken" or any like. And you have to. That's when you have to buy the album and realize, oh, yeah. You're not even being played the best shit.
I want to play by Demons Be Driven.
You have to scrounge together Hollow. $15 to unlock this amazing album. And it's like Cowboys from Hell is an amazing album. Mm-hmm. But it's like, oh, shit, there's Domination. And, you know, all this shit that you have to get the money to, or get someone to burn the CD for you. And the radio can only do so much. And I feel bad.
Wait, you're part of the Napster generation and all that. Why don't you just go steal it?
Well, you also have to, you know, have a CD burner thing or have a friend with that, you know.
So you know those core bands.
I know we're surrounded by technology and your shed dusted, but some of us had to wait until we had those capabilities.
I sold a lot of encyclopedias for this shit.
At some point, my parents got me and my sister a computer each, and I was just like, damn, y'all really splurged here. And I was able, and then Napster, iMesh, LimeWire.
Yeah.
I'm surprised our computer still functioned after a certain point of time.
You're the reason.
Oh, so I don't know if you've been watching, but
then I burned all the. And then it was. Wait, what were you gonna say? And then
I was just gonna say Deathwish is like these core band labels and stuff.
I was just.
They're putting out a lot of stuff.
Labels.
Yeah,
that's where I really. The internet really helped me sink my teeth.
Well, because of COVID, they're putting out a lot of cool stuff, like auctioning off a bunch of, like what's that shoegaze metal band that we like that
Death
has
Heaven?
Some Def Heaven.
Def Heaven.
They're giving away a bunch of stuff from them, Converge, like all of the all the major hitters of Deathwish.
And thanks to like not just like Napster and all that, because Napster you have to find something and they might trick you. I'm not sure if you remember like the Napster descriptions where it said for fans of, and it would be like Korn, Limp Bizkit, Deftones, Powerman 5000,
and
you
it's
know,
some
Spine
guy's
Shank.
Shitty garage band.
And they trick you into hearing their band. And like that, you know, you're like, oh, fuck you. And you can't, you know, delete it immediately. But then.
That was the early version of pop-ups.
Yeah. And that's when you're just like, I don't want to hear your fucking band. But then record labels, you go on their website, you download an MP3 from a band that's never getting any kind of radio play. You go to websites like Deathwish, Equal Vision, which put out early Coheed and Converge.
Relapse.
All these great. Oh,
yeah, Relapse.
You find those contamination fucking samplers. Then like you download
or
the MP3
sampler
and you put that on a CDR, and then you get a real good. You hear early Mastodon, early Dillinger. Fucking Today Is the Day.
Did
like,
you
real
did,
hardcore shit,
Brian? Did any of these bands that these like post metal and all these core bands ever? Did you ever hear something in it that you might have heard in a classic rock band or something, then you went back and started listening to any of the like Lynyrd Skynyrd or
nothing that really drove me. It was just kind of my
Led
general.
Did you ever go from Hatebreed to Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Yes,
not naturally. I love Skynyrd.
You don't hear
now.
The influences from Lynyrd Skynyrd in Hatebreed?
I, as a kid, hear blasting Perseverance. It took me a while to hear. You know, of course, I heard like. I didn't think like, oh, it sounds like Give Me Three Steps. You know, like, I'm not making that connection.
I'm just messing
So you me. Never went from Unearthed to Roy Orbison.
Who would do that?
I was just one. Like,
they're both great. I love them
you
both.
You mean
now.
All Pigs Must Die? You've never gone from that to
they're so I saw
to
them, man.
Pink Floyd?
No, why would I
well,
do that?
Well, that kind of works.
Yeah. All right,
two,
Susie.
Two different
you're
drugs,
up.
Man.
You're up, Susie. What's the most metal band you've ever listened to in your whole life?
I don't think I've ever.
And
listened.
Tell us how you got introduced to it.
To say Rush.
You've never listened to metal. You're not a metal fan.
I
that's a microphone. You can talk into it.
Yeah.
You've
no,
done podcasting.
I know.
You have your own podcast.
I know. You know me. I grew up listening to hippie stuff. I listened to the Mamas and the Papas and Simon and Garfunkel and stuff. And then when I was like 8 or 9 years old, I have a brother who's 10 years older than me, and he brought home a B-52s album. So I started with New Wave.
And is this going to lead to metal? I mean,
and
right?
Then
we've got a long way to go.
And then, like a year later, he brought home this band called Suicidal Tendencies.
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Ding, 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 ding,
yeah.
Ding.
And oh, that perfect. Was really when I started listening to punk rock, really, was that was what I stuck with, to Husker Du.
That Orange County punk stuff?
Yeah,
that
it was all like
County?
West Coast gotcha. Punk rock stuff.
So
and then it took me until I was like maybe 10 or 11 or 12 before I heard the Ramones for the first time.
Yes.
I hate and that. Then I fell so, in love.
The Ramones?
I'm not a fan, dude. I've
Good never, Lord, man.
I respect what they're about. Their music, just musically, yeah. I just, I'm like, anything else, please.
Yeah, it's like two chords. And
give me the Stooges, goddammit.
But then, you know, in high school it was all hair metal, so I listened to it.
What is one of the hair metal bands that stands out that you really enjoyed listening to?
Oh, gosh, Def Leppard.
Oh, yeah, that's the first time someone's mentioned Def Leppard.
Rock band, they're rock.
Def Leppard had cool album covers. I remember, do you guys remember, I bet Chris remembers this. Do you remember when Skaggs Alpha Beta used to have a record section? They would have vinyls.
Right, I remember that. They had an entertainment center in the front of the store. Yeah. Them and Tom Thumb.
Is Bon Jovi have, hair metal? Because yeah. I listen to a lot
no,
of them too.
I don't rock.
They had a Star Wars game
that's me
and a bin of records. And they had metal records. They had Def Leppard. They had Judas Priest. They had, I remember Iron Maiden, seeing my first Iron Maiden album.
I listened to Ozzy Osbourne a lot when I was in middle school.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because the boy I liked, his name was Chris. He listened to Ozzy Osbourne.
One thing I do like about hair metal is how it was this very masculine androgyny that was just like... not to, you know, like to get a line from Charlie Murphy's Real Hollywood Stories, like, you know, all the, like, describing meeting, Rick James. It's like, all the dudes look like bitches. But the hair metal was like, I got my hairspray, and I got my big hair, got my tight pants.
Yeah.
But I'm totally in this for the pussy. And it was just, and then Sir? Like, but then girls liked hair metal too. Yeah. And it was just kind of like.
That whole scene was crazy.
No, and this is all I've had to see in retrospect. Again, I was born in 84. I'm like, I get it. I respect hair metal fully turning into that lane of just kind of like, all right, the chicks really probably aren't into, you know, Sabbath. Maybe not so much Judas Priest. Maybe some Judas Priest. I mean, it's like, all right, we're totally going to write songs for chicks to get chicks. And that's what all of us are going to do in this decade. And we're going to be on blow the whole time. We're going to fucking party. We're going to take some people out. We're going to take some friends out along the way. And Van Halen probably did it.
We're
going to
kill some lead singers.
Oh, yeah. I respect it. So, you know what? I'll eat my own words. Hair metal is hair metal because of how fucking party and rock. Yeah, I'll give them. I'll take away my bullshit of like, it's not real metal. What the scene, the vibe, and what they're about was fucking metal. The music, I'll be like, man, more rock and rollish and whatnot. But damn it, if that wasn't metal, of how fucking hard they partied.
Chris, did you ever have big hair, man?
I had long hair. I didn't have big hair.
You never did the. You just kept with the
never
Peter Steele look.
Up, no, because I didn't grow my hair out until probably 93 or 94.
Oh, see, that was grungy then.
Yeah, that was grungy. Got grungy hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you wash it?
On occasion.
So, Chris,
that was still Pearl Jam. It's Pearl Jam still rock along here.
Yeah. What's your favorite subgenre of metal? Where do you land in all this?
Well, I mean, currently it's probably more, Pantera, the groove metal kind of deal. It's just something that connects with me with that, you know. I don't know if Faith No More is metal. I don't know. But I love what
I feel
they
like
do.
Like funk metal. Like if someone says funk metal, they're like Faith No More and maybe Primus or something.
See, I don't think they're funk. They had that one song that had a poppin' bass.
I think someone said funk metal and they're like, oh shit, we have to throw in bands in this genre I made up. And then they're like, they'll throw anything that sticks. Like a Primus or that. And I'm like, I still don't know what you mean by funk metal.
I think Faith No More, see, I have a different opinion on Faith No More. I think they were more, they're one of those bands that have their own little genre. Like, there's Faith No More, and then there's the rest of metal, kind of. I love Faith No More.
Well, you've got a ton of people that find Faith No More as an influence. A lot of modern metal bands that, if you
especially the new metal
look into
bands.
Their stuff or look, you know, read interviews or stuff, they're like, well, Faith No More was a huge influence on me. You know, living in California, coming up, building this metal band, Faith No More was a huge influence on me.
Which is funny. What I hate about radio is they played Epic, but I'm like, it took me.
Why do you keep attacking radio?
Because
we invited Chris on our show.
We've got a radio person on.
I know. I want to say, I know you guys are sitting there just like, I know.
Brian
so
sounds like every
fucking
caller that called me in the 90s.
Aren't you playing the good shit, man? I called into a radio station once, and I played. I told them the five songs they played, and I won Family Values tickets. So it was like,
well, it's not
that in 100. I know, but like all I knew about Faith No More was Epic, and I didn't realize they had all these other amazing songs. Again, it cost money, but then I'll to buy the CD, and then I it's
and then you listen to it, and you're like, this is a work of art.
Oh yeah, but no, I didn't buy my first Faith No More album until like 2 years ago at Docks. I bought Angel Dust. And I was like,
well, did you
record.
Know that
I was
Faith
like,
No More?
Good. I'm like, it didn't like blow my mind. I
you know
like,
why it's called Angel
good.
Dust?
I don't know, because they did Angel Dust.
If you listen
no,
to it,
Mike Patton.
If
so
you listen to it from front to back,
nothing.
All the way through, it's supposed to feel like a trip on Angel Dust.
So one unique that's fact about Faith No More, did you know that Mike Patton's not the original singer? And Mike Patton's, oh, yeah. his baby of a band wasn't Faith No More.
Mr.
Bumbles. It was called Mr. Bumbles.
Nope, not
now,
Mr. Bumbles. But
Ian's friend Steven.
That's the cover
he was
band.
Huge into that.
That's the cover of Mr. Bungle band is Mr. Bumbles.
There's, yeah. I saw a video of them playing at their high school talent show.
Yeah.
And
so,
you do Bumbles, Mr. Bumbles to date people.
Yeah.
What?
She's talking about the
like
app that I use
app?
To go.
Oh my gosh.
Why'd you let a chick in here on this episode?
So the thing about Faith No More that why they got lumped into that funk metal band stuff was because of who they were hanging out with out in San Francisco at the time and playing shows with. They got lumped into a lot of that stuff because of, like, if you remember, Red Hot Chili Peppers were coming up at around the same time. And so they were out there playing, and a lot of people compared Mike and what's his
Anthony Kiedis.
Oh. Yeah, they would compare them.
I saw Anthony Kiedis at a gas station.
It is an
one
insult
time.
To Mike, but the Faith No More is probably one of the most influential bands like in my life. That's another. We'll get to that, I guess, when we start getting into that '90s, early '90s stuff, because that was another change. Because that's when I started straying away from a lot of the stuff that was played on the radio. And started going down another path that led me to the devil.
Yeah. 90s metal is kind of a wasteland.
If we consult the Book of Knowledge here.
Yes.
Which is Wikipedia. Faith No More, they put them as alternative metal, funk metal, post-punk, and experimental rock.
I guess the funk metal song is that one.
Yeah.
That one song, that second track on the real thing. The what was it, Chris? The
Epic.
Not the one after Epic, the that?
Yeah, but well, they also had We Care a Lot, which
yeah,
was
We Care a Lot.
That was kind of funky.
Which We Care a Lot is very funky.
That's a good album. That what is it? The that song that I wanted to cover, Dustin, the Spirit. I love Spirit on We Care a Lot. That's one of my favorite rock tunes. Further down the road, these are the tools you'll need.
I think we have the vocal track now.
Down the road. That's a badass song, man.
We'll just take that,
that's a
clip it out,
album.
And put it over.
That We Care a Lot, that album. With what was the first singer's name? His name was
Chuck Mosley.
Chuck Mosley, yeah.
Also, Dillinger's escape plan ruined Faith No More because...
Oh, no.
No. Now, it's a compliment because I know the connection there and I can't remember the name of the
but
EP.
You listened to the Mike Patton EP?
Oh, yeah. But also just the and I understand how much of an influence they were, but it's like getting into sex, and it's just like Dillinger is like total fucking, you know, dominatrix shit. Was just like, hey, do you want to have sex on a chair and be adventurous? You're like, that's not going to do it for me. That's what
he was kind of doing that as a favor.
Oh, no, it's just Dillinger's escape plan is so fucking wild and insane, and so it's such my shit. I hear Faith No More, and I'm just kind
of
like...
But you know what that is, right? That's the perfect meeting of East Coast meets West Coast.
Oh, really?
Bam.
Okay.
Yeah,
it
had
great.
Mike Patton from the West Coast. You had Dillinger Escape Plan from the East Coast.
I just wish... Also, I got into Korn, but I also fell out of favor with Korn so fast.
Nobody likes bands from Bakersfield.
And also, I knew how much of an influence Faith No More was on Korn that I just never really wanted to check them out. And none of my friends were like, hey... none of my friends, I don't think, had a Faith No More album that I could just buy and listen to. So I'm I really miss the wave.
So subgenre with you, Matt?
Man, I think probably the one that I've geeked out the most on. I guess Faith No More is just Faith No More to me. Mm-hmm. But the one that I've geeked out the most on would be prog, like prog rock and prog metal. Those are the two.
The summit.
Now, where are you putting Prague? Are you throwing Mastodon in there?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's sludge Prague.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mastodon and even Baroness. Bands like, and then as far as the rock, the prog rock, I love, like, I think Rush is prog rock, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Crimson, King Crimson, stuff like that. Prog is cool to me because it doesn't follow the, you know, intro, two verses, pre-chorus, chorus.
Hear any Cynic?
Yes. Oh, I love Cynic, yeah. Which is weird because they tour with
sometimes
these death metal bands.
Sometimes prog bass gets on my nerves is how, like, bam, bam, like, and it's just like, I can almost hear it too much. It's different because it's so much different from bass in most metal, which is just muffled. Yeah.
And then I also like...
To quote Metal Alchemist. We're going to...
Like a lot of just straight down. Up the butt metal, too. Like, I don't know. Well, not metal, but like rock, hard rock. I love, like, the 90s alternative... That was huge for me when Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains started dominating music and
which
and
for some
Soundgarden.
Reason, if you look at the map, grunge does fall under metal. Like it shows it as shooting off
like it's,
in its own little area.
Totally. Like I remember,
you got like Alice in Chains was a metal band. Yeah, you got Soundgarden. You know they were kind of
Layne Staley's voice was just another guitar, a heroin fueled guitar.
I don't know if any of y'all have seen it, but there's a video floating around that that just got released. It's never been. Put
the
out
Phil
or whatever,
doing,
but it's Phil Anselmo doing Wood.
Oh, really?
With Alice in Chains.
Oh, killer.
And Duff is up there playing guitar too.
I thought that had come out some. I thought that was out.
It's making the rounds again.
Who's Duff?
And it's so
is he
good.
Their singer,
bass player from Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses.
Oh, okay. See, I know. Like,
but he's playing guitar.
Three Guns N' Roses.
Did you ever get a chance to interview Layne Staley, Chris?
No. In fact, I never saw them live with Layne.
Oh, really?
The only time I saw them was Lollapalooza.
Yeah, I had tickets to that show, and I didn't go. Regret.
It was so badass because that's the only time I've ever seen a band like drop a cargo net across the front of the stage. And Layne climbed up that cargo net and just hung in it the whole time, singing.
He didn't come down at all?
Here and there. Like, he'd come down and walk over and climb back up and then come down and climb back up. But it was very weird and cool.
Like what they had in gym class? I love the cargo net. That show was so
that
fun.
That Lollapalooza, what was it? It was, wasn't that the same one that
Front 242
and
Tool and
Tool
Dinosaur
played
Jr.,
it, yeah.
Primus.
So is industrial
did Pearl Jam
a subgenre
totally.
Of metal?
Yeah.
Okay, that's my favorite up. Subgenre.
That's what I grew up on.
Yeah.
It was industrial. Yeah. And then now.
I had a Gravity Kills album.
Okay. You just stay over there.
Nice.
Wow.
So, aren't they, like, are they the ones that did the
I'm guilty.
Oh, Mr. Dead Man.
But,
no.
But, like,
that was
and I'm
Union
guilty.
Underground.
From San Antonio.
Oh, Mr. Dead Man. Obscure nu metal bands. I know way too many. Like, give me a second. It'll pop in there. But Gravity Kills had, and I'm guilty.
Oh, yeah.
That song was probably in like three movies in the 90s.
Yeah.
That was a soundtrack.
You know, I mean, just starting with like Bauhaus and... My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult, and then going
My Bloody Valentine.
You're kind of getting in goth into industrial. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And then into Front 242 and It's a Reb. And
so you already said
industrial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll still listen to some industrial here and there quite a bit. But Doom, Sludge, I'm all in. But all of a sudden, I've got on this kick. Of course, I have reasons for listening to it. But listening to all this metalcore and post-hardcore stuff now,
yeah,
I'm going through it, and like I said, there's reasons, but it's really turned me on to some of that stuff that I just kind of on when it came out. Or some
you got into Dragon Force
kinda,
yet?
Dude, love me some Dragon Force.
I saw Dragon Force open up for Killswitch Engage at
really?
The Bronco Bowl?
No, not the Bronco Bowl. What
you
know about the Bronco Bowl?
You see everybody at the Bronco Bowl.
I did see a lot of shows at the Bronco Bowl. Yeah. That was one of the coolest venues for like 10 years, that was one of the best venues to see a show.
It is, right? Can we all agree on that,
was it literally a bowl?
That's right, first
like
all
the
311.
Hollywood Bowl?
What'd you think of Bronco Bowl, Chris?
They had bowling alleys there.
Yeah. Oh, it was a bowling alley. That's funny.
I'm pretty sure my dad bowled there and probably had no idea that there was a music venue there.
This is what my biological dad said about the place, because he used to go there way, way, way back, is that the reason that stage was there and the way the clamshell went around met up to the stage is because there used to be four bowling lanes going down there, and they would have national bowling tournaments broadcasted live there. There when bowling was huge.
Yeah, in the 70s.
And you'd have people, crowds come in and sit. Well, then when all that died down, they tore the lanes out and put a stage.
Yeah.
And then they still had the regular bowling alley in the front and, of course, the greatness of the Canyon Club.
Yeah,
was that the party
where
in
someone
the back?
Interviewed the singer from Disturbed, and he demanded to have some water, and I went and got him some water, and he didn't take one sip of it.
Did that bother you?
What's wrong?
I was perturbed by it.
Would you say you were disturbed by it?
There you go. That's why we brought Susie in. Is that right there?
Did it
very much?
Did it bring you down with the sickness?
No. Yes.
You know what? I hate Disturbed now, but their cover of Shout goes hard. It goes hard.
What brand are you drinking?
I'll take
it. It was on their first album, and it was like a little diamond in the rough. Where you're like, my best friend Anthony, he can do David Draymond's voice.
This is not the best friend you switched out for another best friend.
This was the 311 best. This is the oldest best friend who's a massive 311 fan, can do a great David Draymond voice. And if you can too, use his voice and sing any popular Alanis Morissette song.
I saw Alanis Morissette.
It works. Just try it. It's I can't do it justice, but it's really good.
So what about you?
Their cover of Shout.
Sir?
We hit him up first.
Did you guys hit him up first? What
the
did
sub-genre.
He say?
Subgenre.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, subgenre. I've been drinking.
So, Chris, since you were in the industry, can we rely on you being a historian at all?
For things that were played on the radio, yes.
Yes. Did anything really beat you down?
The things you had to play?
Like music you, like...
Did you ever want to go rogue and play, like, you know an album had a really fucking good banger on it that you knew it would give them, like, five times as many fans or something? Did she, like, I got to play this again when I know, like, there's, like, three songs off this album that are just so fucking awesome? I try to put myself...
Is there any freedom to do stuff like that, right? There isn't, is there?
Y'all have to play it?
There's no freedom to be able to do that, is there?
Yeah.
I mean, I had a local music show, and I had freedom to do that. But, yeah, during the day when I did my show, there was no freedom. But,
there was none.
I mean, I knew what I was there to do and what I was paid to do, and that was entertain between the tracks.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do this. Since you did have your local show, local metal band. Do you have a favorite of those?
I don't know. Think about it.
Terra.
Besides Terra. That's a national local band.
Okay.
But
There's a band called Terra.
I want to shout out my buddies in Secret of Boris.
Any Ugly Mustard? Because that was back in those days, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I played a lot of Ugly Mustard, and those guys are great. I loved Ugly Mustard.
Brutal Juice.
You know what mine is.
I saw Brutal Juice at the Chat Room Pub.
Matt is a huge Aska fan.
Hey, no, Course of Empire.
Solinger.
I loved Solinger.
Oh, Solinger.
I'd be hating on Solinger.
Is he still fronting Skid Row?
No.
I don't think so.
He's not? Okay. I haven't even looked into that in like forever.
Hey, we didn't even mention Skid Row when we were talking about up in the hood.
Well, come up in hair metal, right?
So mine was Course of Empire, though. I loved Course of Empire. They were kind of alternative, kind of industrial in a way. But
yeah,
I would
say they were industrial. I don't know if they were metal, but yeah.
I loved them. That was one of my favorite bands to go see at Trees. And Rick's up in Denton.
Love them. They were industrial. They were our local industrial band. Gilman Ugly Mustard.
Didn't they get signed to, it was TNT, wasn't it? And then went on tour and then all of a sudden decided they were done.
Yeah.
Or the singer did or something like that.
Yeah,
but I love
them. Label issues.
Yeah, and then, I don't know, there was a lot of cool metal bands. What is the guy from War Beast, his first band?
Rigor Mortis?
Rigor Mortis. Yeah, I loved Rigor Mortis.
Yeah, huge.
Oh, yeah, you'll see them on a list of, like...
Yeah, they were fun. They were fun. The Drowning Pool, which got signed to Wind Up Records.
Oh, Wind Up. They did get
signed.
I think Gravity Kills was
that
on Wind
sucked.
Up.
Been playing shows and stuff, and all of a sudden they get a record deal, and you're like, what the fuck? They were good, though. I love Drowning Pool.
Element 80 was around that time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Chris remembers Element 80.
Yeah. They were great. What happened to them?
I don't know. What
remember
did
they had that one song? They had that one song that would go dun 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 dun, and then at the in the middle of it, they'd go, "You can suck my dick," and everybody would go. Everybody would sing it at the same, like in unison. You're like, okay.
That's a doubt.
They're from Tyler, though.
How about
we get to call them DFW?
Yeah, that works.
How about that metal band Steadfast?
Yeah, those were the pioneers of Texas metal, right there.
What did I used to call your band? I can't remember. I had a name for it. What was Steadfast?
Man, y'all had a bunch of names for us.
You used to put those stickers all over the fucking.
I sure did.
Sounds like he wasn't a big fan.
Everybody's like, oh, who's that guy, dude, with the blue hair? I don't know, but he likes to put these stickers up everywhere.
Chris, here's what's funny is I was going through some boxes the other day of some videotapes. I haven't told stuff this yet.
Uh-oh.
But I found a videotape in it with Steadfast and Waja and Pump Jack, I think.
Pump Jack, like this show.
And at some point, I'm going to
burn it,
transfer this digitally, and there will be a Steadfast show floating around YouTube with Waja.
It's gonna blow up.
See what, yeah. Okay, what's that name? Waja?
Yeah.
I see those stickers.
Waja.
I live in Arlington, and my job.
Oh, yeah, they sticker the shit out of everything.
I see it on so many cars. Not just cars, for the most part. So many. And I was just like, who is this band? And. Of course, it's like, especially around the mid-cities, I'd see it on. There's always, like, Rob's Billiards. And I'd always, anytime I go there for my job, I'd see that on there. I was just like, what the fuck is this band? Are they even around anymore?
So, the very first metal band, let's get into this, some of this pre-metal notes you got here. You have The Who, The Kinks, Jimi Hendrix, Cream, Iron Butterfly. I remember being played all the time by my mom. She loved Iron Butterfly.
This was like the late 50s, early 60s is when, you know, there's a big argument about metal. And we kind of talked about this first time we went around with this. A lot of people will argue that Helter Skelter is the first metal song.
Sorry, nothing spelled.
Okay.
Definitely has a cool lick, and it's definitely aggressive Beatles.
But there's a lot of stuff that's even...
I don't think it counts if you're a pioneering legendary band accidentally discovers a genre in a song.
Well, then even a lot of people
all the songs
that was 1968 when it came out, but then a lot of people will point to the Kinks and You Really Got Me as being the first metal song because of the way the structure of the song was done, the heavy overdriven guitar, which was a lot of people were experimenting with then. You know, Pete Townsend, Jeff Beck were kind of screwing around with that.
But it all had to do with bands that were transitioning from blues, like clean blues licks, and trying to find a heavier sound out of their amps, distortion and stuff.
Well, and it was a time where I think there was like a big dick contest of who could
get the
play
dirtiest
louder
sound
and faster and harder. And even the drum pattern started changing around then. It started getting more complex, a little more crazy, faster.
Yeah.
And then someone decided, hey, can I put a second kick pedal down here and have a double kick? And
didn't Keith Moon blow something up? Like, blew out his band, like someone's ears in the band, right? Townsend's?
Yeah. Pete Townsend said he's deaf from putting an explosive in. Was that on a TV show? I don't remember.
I feel like it was. I remember seeing video of it. I don't know what it was from, though.
Yeah.
So the thing was to get as much overdrive and distortion out of your amps. And the thing is, they didn't have distortion and overdrive pedals back then. So what they tried to do is create as much distortion as possible by cranking. And I guess that's where the big dicks came through.
And a little amp company decided to
Marshall
come around and start making amps a little different.
Yep.
Where you could really crank shit up.
Yeah, Marshall definitely had something to do with the progression of hard rock and metal, I would say, for sure.
Chris, were you ever a fan of the 13-floor elevators down at Austin?
I mean, I just know them from reading history. You know, I don't – I couldn't name a song. I know that Rocky was the leader of that band. But no, I don't know much about them. They were more Pink Floyd-ish, right, than
More psychedelic.
Metal.
Yeah.
And but then a lot of people pointed to them as an influence of how their psychedelic rock started making people wanted to clean things up and be faster. Like they were doing experimental stuff. But
I feel like if you want to point at something and say, here's where it started, I mean, where somebody put it all together and packaged it, you know, you have to say Sabbath, right? I mean,
I think that's where everything points. Yeah. It's Sabbath or Deep Purple, Cream.
But if you read an interview, the thing that's cool about rock and roll and the history of it is when you see an interview and read it about how Tony and the
his fingers,
Ozzy, all of them got into playing like that. They all say their influences were the Beatles
or Deep Purple
and Deep Purple, right?
And blue,
the blues. Period. All the blues.
I think we could render this entire podcast useless if we just say Black Sabbath. Yeah. Or just like fucking yeah.
I would say, I mean, that's where if you look and read at anything modern, everybody points at Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
And then what's crazy is, like you said, Tony, you were joking about his fingers.
Oh, that to me is just, when I first heard about that, I was just like, holy shit, that made him play a certain way, which created this certain sound. And but I'm no musician. But
do you
I'm
know how
like,
much that actually contributed to the sound? Like how
just the
just
licks,
having
the riffs.
Those three.
I figure, yeah.
So, please. A few years ago, my band, I wasn't in it at the time, but they decided to do Black Sabbath. They did a cover, and our guitarist Dave decided to cut his fingers off. No, but our guitarist
dedication.
He was trying to play everything normal with five fingers.
Yeah.
And he couldn't. He said he couldn't get the sound right. It didn't sound right.
Yeah.
And then he was like, "I'm gonna just see what this does with three fingers," and it was on.
Wow.
And it's just like, really? That doesn't make any sense to me. They did an entire set of Black Sabbath stuff for Halloween. They all dressed up and pretended they were Black Sabbath.
You're talking about the spectacle.
The spectacle, yes.
Yeah, it's definitely. I think everyone would agree. All metal fans said probably the biggest that the one that's going to stand out the most on the Mount Rushmore. Can I still say that on podcast? By the way,
we haven't torn it down yet.
Okay,
I mean they haven't.
You can't tear that shit down. But the one that
would be for like up front would definitely be Black Sabbath. I think in metal.
What about number two?
Well, and they also another thing that we'll say about Black Sabbath. Is that if you read any of the documentaries, which one of the greatest documentaries to watch about metal is A Headbanger's Journey that used to come on VH1. Did you ever see that, Chris?
I don't know that one.
So you can still watch it on YouTube. I think there's an account called Banger TV.
That's the one with Blackie Lawless in the pool, drinking.
I think so.
That's Decline of Western Civilization.
That's it.
No, this is a guy that wanted to go and scout out metal and break out the genres and go through. So it's the guy that did the interview with
Gorgoroth?
With Gall.
Gall? Okay, yeah.
The Satan.
That is a good one.
Satan. It's that guy.
Satan.
You know, he did a whole series that would, you know, on VH1 on Saturday, they'd play them all back to back.
Yeah.
But he did a whole thing with Tony talking about Black Sabbath, and their sound also had to do with where they lived. Because that was a shitty part of London. It was dirty
industrial.
And nasty, or Birmingham, wherever they were from. But it was rough industrial part. And dirty, so that reflected in their music.
Yeah. Also, their imagery. Black Sabbath changed the game with their imagery, I would say. They played. Once they started, they realized that they had some marketing genius with the name alone, Black Sabbath. Then they started using it on their album artwork and all their promotions, I think, too.
Did they do the trifecta? Was the song Black Sabbath on their album? They have a self-titled, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was the song also in the self-titled? I say that's a band trifecta. It's band, self-titled, and you have a song named after the band.
I think it is.
That's a three-pointer.
That takes some balls right there. That's a metal hat trick right there.
Birmingham is where they're from.
I will also say hockey is the most metal of sports.
Yeah, it's 3-3-3. They did the trifecta.
Maybe we'll do a whole show on hockey and metal.
And metal.
I'm only saying that because of how many Nordics play. Even like here in like Dallas Stars. One, Pantera did the Dallas Stars, but not even just that. It's apparently like a lot of Nordic hockey players.
Al Jurgensen did.
Blasting.
The Chicago Blackhawks theme.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
While we're still geeking on Black Sabbath, what's your favorite Black Sabbath album?
Album?
Yes.
I don't know. My favorite song is Super Not, but I like the 1000 Homo DJs industrial version of it with Al and Trent. singing it.
Always leads back to industrial with you.
It always does.
I'm going to be Snowblind. What's the...
I'm going to say Sabotage. I loved Sabotage. That's when I thought Black Sabbath really started, like, playing what we know as metal. Like, it just got turned up. It seemed like they were angry then and got more aggressive. And just, I love that whole album, front to back.
Angry doom metal band, better watch the fuck out. It's like,
Chris,
might
did
have
you have
to
a
play
favorite?
A little faster.
Yeah, I think I like Masters of Reality as a full album.
Yeah.
Children of the Grave, I love that.
Children
song.
Of the Grave was awesome. Yeah.
What was War Pigs on?
That was Master Reality, wasn't it?
Paranoid.
That was Paranoid, right? Okay. But you know,
Masters of Reality was a good one too, but.
My buddy got me into punk. We were listening to a Black Sabbath album in high school. We were just like, Paranoid's a punk song.
Yeah.
We reverse engineered it. We're like, oh, we discovered something.
All right, you're up, that. Susie. What's your favorite Black Sabbath album?
Oh, my
I'm
God.
I'm just kidding.
Just say the new one.
Yeah.
The most recent?
The one they put out last year.
Yeah.
So you said you were wondering who would be number two, and I have a question about that, because a lot of people then turn to Led Zeppelin. I don't know where they fit in all
See,
that.
I mean, influential, yes, rock and roll all the way, but they're not really metal. They're all
what about?
Oh yeah, man, but they are influencers of metal and started the sound of metal. Like,
but say we established
Led Zeppelin has
Black
to be
Sabbath
on there.
The first like true metal.
They
band.
Stole everything from blues bands.
So did Black Sabbath.
Everybody stole
all
from
their
somebody.
Licks were blues.
So who would you say is the second metal band?
I would say Led Zeppelin is number two.
I wouldn't even count them as a metal
We
band.
Defer to Chris.
Chris,
you
what's
break
the call?
Up this argument.
I don't know. Too much. You know, I go back and forth on Zeppelin being a metal band. They have some metal songs, but
yeah,
I mean they also
they
have
some
really
sweet
acoustic,
riffs. Yeah, but they,
silly
yeah,
songs.
Exactly. They got.
I don't know, man. You're all crazy.
And they don't approach you know, fantasy literature in a metal way. It was more of like a fantasy. Like, oh,
so you don't like the lyric content of Led Zeppelin compared to the lyric content.
No, I like their lyrical
of,
content, but they again, but it's like, let's tell about monsters and trolls with this acoustic guitar.
Well, there's some
like,
Black Sabbath that gets pretty hippie-ish at times.
Oh, that's fine, but it's
they got some flutes and some Black Sabbath
those
songs.
Those are
too.
The outliers.
Yeah.
What about like an Iron Butterfly or a
when did Iron Maiden start?
A mountain.
That's way a few several years later.
Yeah, yeah, that's when the new wave of British heavy metal. We're still in the early stages.
See, I'm thinking from my alcohol soaked
brain
right
Hendrix?
Now. I don't have a computer in front
of
me.
Do you think that's metal?
Ooh.
No, I think
not
he
at
had
all.
Some songs well, that contributed, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing is we're used to our metal today, but back then was he considered metal?
Yeah, man. I think
like if you think about him back in the day, was he considered metal? Were people freaked
Purple
out
Haze
by him?
Freaked
like,
people. Oh, he burned his guitar on stage. That's metal.
They were most freaked out by that.
He thought
and
it
maybe
was
him
a,
being black.
He thought he was wrestling a snake the whole time because he was on LSD.
He was metal as a human being, but he was just trying to play the sickest fucking guitar you've ever heard.
Yeah. So we're not putting Jimi Hendrix on the on Mount Rushmore, Mount Metalmore.
There you go.
Or Led Zeppelin?
What about Priest? I would say Priest would probably be second. I mean, when did they start?
Judas Priest, yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah, I don't know when these people start. I don't have
Well, Judas Priest is a little farther down the line.
They're a little further down the line.
Very stingy. He's got two computers.
Well, I mean, if we're going to... Well, I got to do a goddamn show here.
Yeah.
But if we're going to go Mount Rushmore, we should that should cover all of metal, right? Because you throw Metallica up there, right?
Definitely, Metallica would. Be
I mean,
on
that's
there.
Is there a bigger metal band worldwide?
Metallica would
Iron
definitely
Maiden.
Be on the Rushmore.
Here's your Rushmore: Sabbath,
Mount
Muddle, Iron Maiden,
Mount
Judas
Metal
Priest,
More.
Metallica. There you go.
What'd you say?
I'd say Sabbath, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Metallica.
That's
a pretty good one.
I would be fine with that.
That's a pretty good one.
I would totally
man.
Be fine with
let's
that.
Get out your tools. Let's find some granite.
What about Slayer? You don't think Slayer deserves to be on the metal more?
I don't think they're as big as any of the
I think
other
Metallica
four.
Trumps them.
Yeah. For sure. And I guess it's the same kind of... yeah. You got all some
Metallica tried to make
stuff.
Different albums.
The thing
okay,
is...
Okay, now, I'll say God Hates Us All like went a little different.
But. The thing is, you know, it's three British bands and one American band. So
no, we can't have
that, right? We gotta take.
Are we not? Putting,
we gotta take the Priest out.
If we had to make a decision tonight, are we not putting any hair metal band like Guns N' Roses? Well, Guns N' Roses is not really hair metal, but or like Motley Crue, they're not on there.
No.
Too much cheese.
Not even a thought.
Not even Guns N' Roses.
No. I like that.
No.
I mean,
rock and roll was pretty much given to us by the British anyways.
Okay, so what?
What about Seether?
No, we had Stooges, MC5. We could throw some shit in
because
there.
A band, before they got real cheesed out towards the end of their career, unless their career's still going, but a band that really influenced American metal was Van Halen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you look at everybody that is an American metal band.
I'd say just as much as like Zeppelin.
Eddie Van Halen on that first album.
I mean, he made me stop listening to Michael Jackson.
It blew everybody's mind. Like, this cannot be done with a guitar. What is going on? So,
yeah.
I still hate Jump to this day because I'm
and
just
he
like,
tricked, he
you
started
have
tricking
one of the best fucking guitarists of all time, and I'm hearing,
I love Jump.
I don't, man.
I like songs about suicide.
Is that, oh, shit, it is.
Uh-huh.
I don't listen to lyrics.
You don't have to quit making fun of it, though.
Like, I just hated how I'm like, why are these keys the most prominent part of this fucking Van Halen song? When you have Eddie Van Halen over, like, I think he was playing the keys on that
album. It was the 80s, man.
Exactly. And that's what, don't get me started on the 80s.
All right, so if we back up to late 60s, early 70s, we're going to go with Sabbath, Zeppelin, even though they're more rock, but they have some metal stuff in there. They could be an influencer, right?
Oh, they are.
And then
blue check mark through and through.
What do y'all say about, The Who?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it to them.
Or I get it's early. If we're early 70s, when did Kiss fire up? A little later. 74. So what about
never been a fan of Kiss.
Trying to think of who else. Like I said, I threw out Mountain. Mountain is referenced in a lot of stuff.
That's because they were riffy and real distorted.
It's one of the best fucking songs of all
time. When was that put out?
Ozzy's
when was Mountain around?
It was amazing.
Let me look here.
I feel like Mountain was late in the 60s,
I would say.
Was it late
60s? 70s, yeah.
I thought it was.
I think they played Woodstock.
Mountain did?
So 69?
I think so.
With a name really? Like 69.
That, they should have been the first doom metal band. Like, if your name's Mountain, that's the most doom metal possible band
and
ever.
And Leslie West, a badass.
Yeah.
Was that the
guitarist?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was bad as shit. So
I need to check out some Mountain just because. It's an amazing name.
Yeah,
yeah. The thing about the Who you mentioned the Who is I'm kind of more on the they did more for hard rock, which I guess hard rock kind of blends into metal than they did metal. But man, Who is such a good band.
I mean,
and there's so many metal bands that were influenced by them.
There's a lot of foundation there for metal with what they were doing and how Pete Townsend was screwing with frequency and feedback.
Yeah.
And
he was
creating
in the,
distortion when there weren't distortion circuits yet.
He was in the amplification wars for sure.
Yeah.
The battles.
And
mine's louder.
And then doing shit with syncing guitars with synth.
So do you put
patterns that they're supposed to fuck with your mind.
Do you put Pink Floyd in any of this influencer stuff?
If we go back to when they say like the psych rock influenced a bunch of stuff, then yes, I would put Pink Floyd back there with like the 13th floor elevators and all that.
And what about ZZ Top? I feel like we've neglected them a little bit.
But ZZ Top didn't come out in the 70s, right? Late
70s? No, man. I thought it was in the late 60s when they started playing. Because they started playing, they were in Texas for.
I think their first album was like 73, probably.
Yeah.
Who has a computer?
I'm looking right now.
We could look things up. But
technically, we all do.
I mean, I like winging. Let's just wing shit. I mean, come on. No, let's see here. The early years were 69 through 72.
Yeah.
First album was 71.
First album 71.
They were heavy. Do you know what's one thing about ZZ Top that people don't think about is they were heavy. They were big in the psych rock in that Austin scene.
Mm-hmm.
They played a lot of shows with was it the 13th floor elevators, and they were just as instrumental in the psych rock as they were the blues stuff. They switched gears when they started tinkering around with their guitar sound, and it started pushing them towards more of the southern metal, or not metal, but southern rock type of lift, bluesy stuff.
I'm singing about pussy.
By the way, great documentary if you haven't seen it. If you want to watch a good feel-good documentary, is the ZZ Top documentary.
Made me go buy a Pog pedal.
Also, that episode of King of the Hill with Hank's cousin. So that episode of King of the Hill with Hank's cousin, who's in ZZ Top.
It's always got to come back to comedy.
Yeah, it's a great show. Mike Judge is perfect.
He is.
So what about, like, if we're starting to roll into the 70s, you got, like, Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
Grand Funk Railroad.
For sure,
people
Godzilla.
That are changing things up. You got the MC5s.
It was just MC5. The MC5s.
Oh, yeah, I did say the MC5s, yeah. Well, I was trying
That's something Susie would say.
MC5.
They open up for true. The B-52s, right? Which B-52s, fucking, everything I've heard from them fucking rocks. Like, I love
really
the B-52s.
Does. Thank you.
They're super influential in metal.
They should be more. More metal bands need, like, 2-3 girls or... these two chicks, you know, doing harmonies and shit.
All right, so while we're talking about Mount Metal
shit.
More.
It's a band, not
your Now
band.
Let's put we're about done. I'd say we probably, what do you want to start wrapping it up here in a few? And this
here
is,
shortly, because I'd like to get through the 70s, so that way when we do our next episode, we can spend a lot of time about the...
Rap metal.
The new wave of British heavy metal.
Yeah.
Where Judas Priest...
Saxon.
Iron Maiden.
And Iron Maiden all started coming into play and how their influence
Saxon
on American
Metal.
Metal.
Yeah.
And how it really influenced all of Europe, because that, once the new wave of British heavy metal hit, that is what started going into black metal and your Norwegian death metal.
We can't forget the Scorpions.
I'll never forget the Scorpions.
I'm pissed that
we got to get to the Scorpions.
Oh, I know. I was so pissed that it was the singer's voice. I had tickets to see them and Megadeth. They fucking canceled the show because the fucking Scorpion singer had throat issues.
They sure when
and I was gonna knock
Dave
up.
Mustaine had an issue with someone.
Oh, dude, I wish. I want to see fucking Megadeth so bad. And I was like, Megadeth and the Scorpions on one show?
How's Dave Mustaine doing? Is he...
Fine.
He's got a clean
this was
health
like,
bill
this was
of
like
health
2 years
now,
ago. Yeah. This was post
pre-cancer.
This was post. Yeah,
oh, post-cancer.
King Crimson.
That's what I.
That's the 70s. No, you
yeah,
didn't
mention
them,
yeah.
But
for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
Yeah, especially on the prog side. And honestly, that we're not there yet. I don't think. But Rush had a lot to do with the way things were played.
I mean, what about? I mean, they're Canadian though.
Like, can we?
How do we?
Good point.
How do we feel about Canadians? Seriously.
Hey, Protest the Hero is a good proggy metalcore band.
But you know, there were two bands that
Alexis on Fire. Good post.
Well, there were three bands in the '70s that started making things really huge. Kiss, which we already talked about. Any fans of Kiss?
No.
Yeah.
You are.
Me.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. I mean, I like some stuff. I don't like the stuff that the Eagle used to play.
I like Detroit
three
Rock
times
City.
An hour.
That was a fun movie.
They only played, really, was the, that, what was it, the I Want to Rock and Roll, I Want to Rock. They played that a lot, but they wasn't much. And then they would play, that like, every once in a while, there was some 80s shows that, was it Dangerous Darren, or someone did one. Someone did one, and they would play some of the cool stuff that Kiss did. I think, maybe
I mean,
I'm thinking
there's
of
some deep
Z-Rock.
Stuff that's kind of cool.
But...
some deep cuts that are cool.
What about their disco phase? Were you a big fan of that? The Kiss disco?
The only song disco. I liked, and I don't even know if this is, I think this is Unmake-up Face, was the song that went, that started off.
I think Lick It Up was Unmake-up.
I got a body built for speed and an appetite for passion.
Yeah.
And then the chorus was, I just want to fuh, I just want to fuh, I just want to forget you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I love that song. That
How many,
song
they did more than one album on Makeup, didn't they? Like, didn't wasn't Lick It Up? I don't think they had makeup on that because that was one of their videos.
They did three or four albums in the '80s that were no makeup.
No makeup, yeah.
What about their solo albums where they each did their own record with their own face on it?
What about Negative Paul Stanley? Are we going to do a show about that?
We need to find Negative Paul Stanley. Does positive Paul Stanley is high voiced? Is Negative Paul Stanley deep voice?
Wait, what is...
It depends.
What is this?
Negative Paul Stanley?
You gotta
dig
deep. Rabbit hole.
Yeah, don't start that, but you gotta dig deep.
Okay, so what I was throwing at was Kiss.
I'm Negative Paul Stanley!
And then you had Dio.
Dio, yeah. That's what everybody said Steadfast was. Because the dun 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 dun. I'd get so mad if, like, we're not a Dio cover band.
And then
he's American, right?
Another little band,
Ronnie James.
Oh, Ronnie James Dio,
he's from New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey.
Okay.
And then a band from down under called AC/DC.
Oh, fuck. Ooh, yeah.
Started making the round.
I would say AC/DC's on the Mount Metalmore.
Hey, Chris, do you know why the Eagle always played AC/DC at 6:55 a.m.
Here comes some
every
more
morning?
Eagle complaints.
I had my radio set to my alarm radio set. It was on the Eagle. That was a fuck ton of the Eagle as a kid.
Yeah.
And just to wake up for school. So every morning I'd wake up to an AC/DC song. But it's like I'm waking up. I hate the world because I'm a little angry teenager. I hate the world. I have to go to school. And this is what sucks is that it kind of got me off AC/DC because that was the first thing I heard the morning.
You got
morning.
To hear Russ Martin
the
right
Eagle
after that AC/DC
never
song.
Liked Russ Martin. Uh-oh. But AC/DC was just it was always playing at that specific time.
What?
It was so weird. It just at that time.
Well, you know, we knew when your alarm was set.
Yeah.
You scheduled that song.
Like, this we're going to mess with Brian Breckenridge.
So listening to The Edge. Yeah,
I'm glad to finally
I like how this show has turned
story.
Into the Eagle Complaint Line
no,
show
I,
by
I,
Brian.
I've never talked to anyone so directly to the source. I've always been curious because I've listened to so much of, you know, The Edge and The Eagle.
I didn't know 787 KEGL still worked.
You still calling that line?
787. Yeah. Oh, I never called.
All the radio numbers were 787.
Oh, yeah, they were. They were like 214 or 972. Yeah. 787.
Did
Holy
you ever
shit.
Do any kind of liners, Chris, that was like, hey, Brian, you rock?
No.
I did a lot of those liners.
Yeah.
I don't know if I did one for Brian, though.
It was so weird. Just every morning, it was just like, I just heard AC/DC like 6:55.
We played a lot of AC/DC.
There was a lot of AC/DC.
So weird. It was just that time. And I was like, oh, well, it's AC/DC. Time to wake up
when
and go to school that I hate.
When there's a format change or something, it was just Hell's Bells for like 9 hours or something like that?
No, it was...
Or Back in Black or something like that?
No, I thought it was an Eagle AC/DC. Song. I thought they did... what did they do when they made the crossover between the top 40? The first jump
was Eagles.
It was the
Eagles
tunes. Yeah.
Was it the Eagles?
It was the Eagles, I think. And they just looped it for, was it a week or something like that?
Oh, that's right.
So they did it for a long time.
I remember that going on Facebook.
No.
They used to do cool stunts in radio back in the day.
I always thought that was really cool when it, out of nowhere you'd be like hearing, like, why am I just hearing this one artist or why am I hearing this one song over and over again? And then you wake up the next morning and be like, oh, format changed.
So did you like when the Melvins looped the satanic speech from like Anton LaVey over and over again when the fire marshal was about to shut the show down at Tool?
That was at a Tool concert, really? Yeah. Not at a format change for a radio station.
I still thought it was cool.
You kind of connected the thought process there.
Yeah, you're close. I like
remember,
where you're going.
I remember getting really mad as a kid when it was playing
at the Eagle.
Hell's Bells, and it wasn't For Whom the Bell Toll. I was just like, oh, is this Metallica or ACD? And I did the wait. I'm just like, fuck, it's ACDC.
All right, Dustin, so tell us the plan. What's the next phase? What are we going to jump into next time we do this?
Let's rip through the new wave of British heavy metal.
All right, sounds
like
a plan.
How it affected Europe and how it rolled through, started changing things in America, too, because that's when things really started getting changed.
And we all have to wear cod pieces and be shirtless.
And Brian will do a section about how it tied into the methodology of neo-Nazis and all that.
That's more of a punk thing.
Oh, is it? It'd have been funny if I didn't stumble the joke.
Anything else you want to hit up here, Chris, in the 60s or 70s before we call this a wrap for a start?
No, I'm glad we touched on AC/DC. I think that's important. But
very.
Ready for the 80s.
Power metal.
The 80s is going to be
AC/DC.
Fun.
The 80s is going to be fun. And
creative
you know what?
Power
we could
metal.
Probably start. Because a lot of what's kind of
I say
weird,
we wear makeup for that show.
For the 80s, we get all glammed out.
Absolutely.
We all do terrible British accents throughout the entire thing.
I think what's really weird about when the new wave of British heavy metal started coming out towards the late 70s, it also affected the 80s so much. So we can probably touch on a little bit of the 80s going into this, but I think we need to save hair metal for its own show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Hair metal's got to have
its own
show. The full
80s into 90s and how the rise and how chaotic it was and how it fell off.
Matt, you'll bring the blow?
Hey.
So that's a look right there at the
Matt
two
doesn't
future,
do
future
blow.
Shows.
Yeah. I was talking about blow pops.
Okay. As his eyes got real gigantic.
Sugar high going.
Let's go.
Well, Chris?
Just kidding.
I hope this was fun for you.
It was fun.
Are you going to quit immediately? Or are you going to get the, hey, guys, oh, yeah.
Are you just going to end the call right now? Done.
Hang up on us.
End meeting. Leave meeting.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you coming on and talking about this with us.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll be more organized and prepared for the next one. And
well, this ready. One's really
not chasing comments.
The
comments.
I'm the only one doing it. You could have done some work.
Yeah, true.
Bam. No, but
I just go back to the first show we did on this.
The problem is this beginning is all just kind of all over the place. But now that it's kind of out of the way, you know, we can kind of focus in. And I thought it would be a good intro just kind of introducing where all our minds are for this and get it going. So
now we're laser focused.
Now we're going to be laser focused on stuff.
Yeah, this is the Jimmy Johnson Cowboys now. We're like, ready. Ready to do this.
I watched the Niners.
I remember sports.
I remember sports.
Do you remember sports? Do you remember traveling?
The thing they played?
Do you remember how much fun it used to be to go watch live music?
Yeah. Live music?
Have a drink at a bar. Cool. It was good times.
Yeah.
Weird.
I eat dinner at a restaurant.
Score blow.
Oh, yeah.
The problem with me drinking at home is I don't feel there's a regulator.
There's a drug dealer coming to your house, man.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to a bar, you feel like you know, I got to stop drinking because I got to drive home.
Yeah.
But when I'm at home.
You drink way too much.
I don't understand DUIs because it's just like, wait, no, you got to stop at some point to drive yourself home. And you should hopefully know by now as a 30, 40
something. Some people don't have self-control.
Yeah, well, they're not technically adults all night long. And they shouldn't be so. They should be more thankful we have these beautiful laws in place where, hey, just drive okay enough.
We'll talk about that on the metal and alcohol show.
Yeah.
How alcohol influenced
Alcoholica.
Metal.
Hey,
yeah. Influenced metal. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, but this has been great, guys.
It has been great.
I've got a lot of crotch sweat going right now. So
it
gonna,
is hot out here.
I'm
hope
say we
you're
call
cool,
it off now.
Chris, in your little temple.
I might need a jacket. It's a little chilly in here.
Don't brag. We don't need a braggart on here.
Well, we already have
right
one.
Here for, yeah, we've already got one. We don't need another. You and your AC. How many sets of encyclopedias did you sell for that?
Two or three.
All right. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
And I guess we'll be back next week, right?
Yeah. Play the outro music, man.
And here's the outro music. Set up. I'll put it in post.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Later.